Blog Talk Radio.
That's very dramatic.
Yeah, I know.
That's
very
a good
dramatic.
Choice of music, Mona. I remember
Thank
you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We're back.
Yeah.
Been away for a couple of weeks for a fresh new show.
Right.
You are listening to...
Kay Thompson Live.
I was going to give you the intro, Ma.
Oh,
Let
go
me
ahead.
Give you the intro. Let me build you up a little bit. You are listening to the one, the only, the pioneer, the Kay Thompson Live Show. And now, here's Kay.
I love it. That is Eric Payne, as you know, my son, giving me my props.
That's right. Yeah. Give my mom a props, man.
Yeah, how about that?
That's very dramatic music that you chose there, Ma.
Thank you.
I remember when you used to have the dance studio and have the African drums playing. And
Have
teaching the young ladies, the girls, to do the African dance steps. And now they seem to be a staple in a lot of American choreography now. They use a lot of African steps. Steps, you know, I mean, we're getting sidetracked here a little bit, but I see now in music videos and a lot of these TV shows that some of the dancers, you know, a lot of street dancing has become acceptable as opposed to the classically trained. And I'm going to put quotes around that because, if I don't put quotes around it, I don't want it to diminish street dancers and a lot of hip-hop dancing, which has its own technique and style. It's just a different type of dancing. And so I didn't want to put classically trained in as if that other type of dancing was less than. So, but I do see in modern choreography and music videos and these award shows when they do have the dancers, there are a lot of African steps that I remember seeing as a kid that you guys used to teach, which wasn't as accepted in the mainstream back then as it is now.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. As a matter of fact, I didn't start out with classical ballet.
Right.
You know, I started out with tap.
Right.
And that was a long time ago. I guess my mother thought, that I was... talented or something or whatever. So, I started taking tap dancing at a place called Carver Center in Elizabeth, New Jersey, where I'm from. And from there, I guess she really thought I was good because, I was in it. And then I remember this one concert that they had, and it was, I was supposed to play the part of this Hawaiian dancer. So, I learned the choreography and all that, and the parents had to, help with costuming. And they were all making these leis, and they were sprayed fluorescent, fluorescent paint or spray or something. So I had leis in my hair, around my neck, around my ankles and wrists and whatnot. And the time for the concert or the recital came around, and the the stage was darkened, and I came out with my solo. I was playing Queen Liliuokalani or something like that, And I was the only black kid in the entire school at that particular time. And so what happened was that my father, daddy was, taking all kinds of pictures. But you can see the lays dancing, around my neck.
Because of the phosphorescent was glowing and the stage was
dark.
They
couldn't see me. I was not a white kid. I was blacked
out.
That's
before they made films to pick up black people. That's a little bit before they made... the film advanced enough to pick up black people on camera.
We don't have to go back that far, thank you, Eric.
When I was a kid, when we took our little yearbook, black and white yearbook pictures, everybody that was black looked crispy.
Well, I was one of those crispy
people. Who out there remembers that? Looked nice and crispy back in the day before they started perfecting photography for black people's skin.
But it was funny because, that was my big moment, the first recital, But, we're going to be doing a lot of talk about education.
Right.
We have about 3 or 4 weeks of different parts of education and educators and talking to teachers and talking to people who are involved with, college. How do you get there? What do you do? What happens? We're going to be talking about core curriculum. We're going to be talking about assessment for readiness of future scholars program, and all that kind of thing, things that we have to know about.
Right.
You know, because especially coming from Newark and coming from, you know, Jersey City and coming from Elizabeth and all the, you know, you have to be really be on your P's and Q's at this particular point. It is so important for these kids to get exactly what they need.
Exactly.
And to get, and for us to give out information. So that's what we're going to be doing for the next several weeks.
Because education does what? Lifts people out of their situations.
That's right. That's
information
right.
is power. Knowledge reigns supreme.
Mm.
KRS-One, I believe.
Mm.
Knowledge reigns supreme. And you started out your career as an educator.
That's right. I was a teacher.
And
know.
But back in... No, I don't mean to say back in
you can
back
say
in
back
those
in.
Days, but though, at that time period for a lot of African Americans,
and Alexander is waiting.
Mrs. Alexander,
and she goes back as far as
and,
I.
But
we'll
back,
get
and you
can
attest to this, Mrs. Alexander. I know you can hear that. Back in those days, that was one of the a good employment job for a
That's
lot of
right.
African Americans
right.
that were coming out and they get jobs as teachers. And it was also a way that you guys could reach out and try to help the next generation.
Yeah.
I know that that was part of what the thinking was. And we want to get into that, but there are a lot of other things that are going on that we want to touch base on.
Yeah.
Talk about the flack that Chris Christie is catching with the closure of the lanes on the GW Bridge. We're also going to be talking about the debate to extend unemployment benefits with Congressman Donald Payne. He's going to be calling in about 8:30 to talk about that because he was at the White House the other day when the president made the speech. We'll talk about that.
Terrific.
But first... the Chris Christie is just catching a lot of hot water.
He sure is. It's about time. Too.
And I think that he was so in the, a lot of people, if you don't know by now, that the lanes were shut down during the first day of school in Fort Lee, GW Bridge. And it was a 4-hour backup. All kind of havoc was created in Fort Lee. And when they started to find out that it wasn't retribution or payback, so to speak, for the mayor of Fort Lee, because he didn't, Democratic mayor that didn't support Chris Christie, and it was leaked that some people that knew him and were people that worked with him did this.
Yep.
His response in typical kind of Chris Christie form was to joke about and be arrogant and condescending, and so, you know, people don't like
deep,
that.
You know what?
And
now.
I have a certain feeling for Chris Christie because he spoke very eloquently at my uncle's funeral. Came to Phil Thigpen, a cousin of ours, and spoke at his wake, which was surprising.
Yeah.
So I've seen that side, and I was impressed with him because my opinion of him before that was that he was a bully. But he does have a tendency to do those things and to be condescending to people who really are his boss.
Okay. But so, I also remember, you know, when he prosecuted, you know, he was a prosecutor
former mayor.
Sharp James.
Mm-hmm.
We know Sharp James quite well.
Right.
He may have been a bad mayor. But however, what he did to Sharp James, he wanted him to get 20 years.
Right.
He wanted him to get 20 years, you know.
Right.
And that was so, you know, off the charts.
Right.
You know, who knew about it? But we have a call.
And also, too, just last thing, I don't know if Sharp James was necessarily, his mayorship was questionable, if that's a word.
But he did
lay the foundation for things like, I think, the Prudential Center being built and a lot of things in Newark happening that Cory Booker was able to take credit for. The seeds for those things, I believe, were planted by Sharp James. So that just needs to be said from my perspective to kind of – and people have their issues with Sharp, of course. But he did plant those seeds for a lot of those things that happened for the city. And he was originally from Newark.
That's right.
But it's just
before him, it was Ken Gibson.
Right.
You know, so we've had black mayors for a little while there.
And they say sometimes power corrupts, and sometimes we get carried away with our position, and we forget where we come from. But that's a discussion for another time.
Yeah, we could go on and on about that. Because I remember when Adonisio was the president, and a lot of crooked stuff going on in Newark in the educational circles.
Right, that was...
You know, we'll go to that. Right now, I want to talk to a caller and an educator and a good friend of ours, Ann Alexander. Ann, are you on the
Hello,
air?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Loud and clear. How are you?
Alexander.
Well, that's good.
Eric just said hello, Ann.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, fine.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much, and to you, too.
Thank you.
Now, Ann, you are a former educator. Where were you teaching,
yes.
by the way?
I beg your pardon?
Where were you teaching, by the way?
Oh, I taught at the Jefferson School in South Orange Maplewood School District.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then I volunteered at the Ivy Hill School in Newark, New
right.
Jersey, to teach literacy.
Mm-hmm. And then you were also certified and accredited.
Then I decided to, when I retired, to become an accredited mediator for civil
yeah.
cases
mm-hmm.
in Newark. And
mm-hmm.
that's what I've been doing now.
Yeah, that's
and all very interesting.
Yeah, I want to talk about that too, you know, because when I, you know, talked to you some time ago, because we are all friends, that's absolutely fascinating. And so I always thought that maybe I wanted to be a mediator. As a matter of fact, I served at exactly what it was, you know.
You get a number.
State Department of Education, I think it was, you know.
That sounds cool. Uh-huh. I like the mediator.
Yeah.
I tell them, this is the way it's going to be. Sit down. And is that what you do, Mrs. Alexander? Is that kind of?
No. No, not at all. you're only there to listen to the
yeah.
two sides.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I see.
And you have them talk it out. And what I found that when people get together and these cases have been going on for the last 4 or 5 years, which they
yeah.
do,
mm-hmm.
once they're able to sit down at mediation, because usually the court tells them, no, you go to mediation now, it's been long enough,
mm-hmm.
when they can hear each other face to face, things usually come to a head and they are finished.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
they, you know, and it works out very well. Mediation is a wonderful way to go, you know, when you can't get the people to really listen to each other.
You know, Anna,
and it works.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go right ahead, sorry.
You know, I just remember that I wasn't sworn in by the State Department of Education for anything. It was the New Jersey State Supreme Court.
Mm.
And I
see.
A public advocate. It was, they chose people to judge on the misdeeds of attorneys, let's put it that way.
Mm.
You know,
I see. That's interesting.
Yeah, and I like that. I had forgotten about that. But listen, it's sworn in by the New Jersey State Supreme Court. That's no light thing.
No, not at all. Not at
yeah.
all.
But anyway, I'm going to get into, you know, the areas that we're going to be talking about. You know, about
all right.
Common Core curriculum.
The Common Core state curriculum standards.
Yes.
That's a very interesting one because they have had a number of people in different states who are saying that it's not necessary. But, you know... just to state it simply, New Jersey adopted the Common Core State Standards in 2010. And what they are, it means it's just common sense. And the standards, they were saying, are needed for every grade level to ensure that when the children are given certain skills, they know those skills before they go to the next grade.
Now, was that
and
a
that's all it is.
Well,
I can't, you know, you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Good,
Aaron. I was going to ask, just before we get into that, what exactly is Common Core? Is it just a basic standard of educational?
It's a Common Core.
Mm-hmm.
State standards are just standards that 48 states or 45 states have decided that before you go to the next grade, from kindergarten to the 12th grade, every student in those 45 states, also the District of Columbia,
mm-hmm.
and some of the islands, that the child will know a certain skill.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so when you go to first kindergarten, there are mm-hmm. certain skills that you have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're called Common Core state standards.
Now, I just have a follow-up question, if I can, Mom.
Yes.
With Common Core, this is so we have a society that everybody, I mean, when you have this, everybody lives in the same country, and I assume this is done because, so we have a society that everybody has a certain level of education. It's kind of
right.
like the same currency system when you go, everybody deals with the same currency.
Right, right.
We all learn the same things about science, arithmetic, and things like that. That's the intent of Common Core curriculum, correct?
That's exactly the intent. In fact, what it is, when they put in the Common Core, what they decided that they wanted a high-quality education
mm-hmm.
for kindergarten through the 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And what you find, they were finding that when you think about the Essex County College and all of the county colleges, they spend a great deal of their money doing remedial work.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Common Core is trying to prevent,
uh-huh.
that when you finish 12th grade,
mm-hmm.
you are now ready to go into college or
yeah.
to a career.
Yeah.
Okay.
You see?
Let's,
that's what they want.
Okay, that's good. That's a good time for us to break. We have
a break right now.
We just want to stop
okay.
it right there. And we're going to come back on the other side and continue this discussion on
we'll
the K. Thompson
back.
Live on GoPro Radio.
We'll be right back.
All right.
The views and opinions expressed on GoPro Radio Network shows are solely those of the speakers and are not necessarily the views or opinions of GoPro Radio Networks, Inc. or its affiliates. These broadcasts are provided on the understanding that they do not constitute professional advice or services. Individuals who speak in these broadcasts express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. GoPro Radio Networks and its affiliates do not necessarily endorse or oppose any particular opinion or conclusion discussed in these broadcasts. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute these broadcasts in any way without the express permission of GoPro Radio Networks, Inc. GoPro Radio Networks assumes no liability for any of your activities in connection with these broadcasts or for your use of these broadcasts in connection with your website, computer, or playing device.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
All right, we're back on GoPro Radio Network, the K. Thompson Live Show. I'm Eric Payne, and that's my mom over there.
K. Thompson here.
Yeah, that's her name. We're talking
to Ann Alexander.
Mrs. Alexander, we're talking about the Common Core curriculum. So, Mrs. Alexander, I was just discussing with my mom. So you said that so everybody is on the same page, basically.
Everybody will be on the same page, and this is why, you know, when you were in school... You had what they call basic skills.
Yeah.
If you remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was one teacher at my school was Mrs. Sandra Goodwin. She would have all these students who were in basic skills or really a nice word for saying remedial work.
Mm-hmm.
And what she did was to take the kids back to where they belonged. If they were in her grade at third grade for basic skills, she took them back to second, gave them all the skills they needed in order to function in third, and right on down the line. And as a result, every single year, every one of her students passed out of remedial classes.
Wow.
She was excellent because her standards were high, and it's all common sense. If you don't know what's in the grade below you, you certainly can't do the grade that you're in.
Obviously,
you see?
Yeah.
And she had very high expectations, and most of the students who were in her classes, of course, were minority students.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And she was determined that this would not happen, so she was doing Common Core long before Common Core. Go on.
I have a question to ask you. Do you remember when you had me come to your school and I taught the electronic media development for learning course of, you know, portion of, you know, because it was, you know, teaching kids how to be on television, be on radio to spur and strengthen their reading. And
that's
it was
right.
And the State Department of Education hired me to do that because of the fact that kids just didn't want to learn. So I came up with the idea that everybody wants to be on television.
Right.
So
that's
the question
right.
I have the teachers ask was, ask your kids who wants to be on television, and they will all raise their hands. And
that's
that
right.
So often. And it was big fun.
Right.
You know, I turned it into
yes.
a really big fun thing. Everybody wanted to be on television. Well, you have to learn how to read.
Right.
You
that's
know,
right. And And do you know that even some of the people in the big companies are pushing Common Core? I was just reading about the CEO for ExxonMobil, and he was saying that he is surprised. The when he speaks to people and they fuss about unemployment, and he tells them there are over 100,000 jobs that are vacant because people who apply for them don't have the skills.
Basic skills,
and
right.
And he said they don't have the skills, and these jobs are there available for these people. And he says what's happening, that science, technology, engineering, and math, the students are all failing.
Yes.
And you know they have that program called the STEM, S-T-E-M program, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. And Rutgers University has a fantastic program down there for the STEM program, and a number of those students in that program are STEM students, minority students.
Minority students.
And doing beautifully.
Yeah.
Doing beautifully.
Now let me ask you, and I'm in the break discussing this with my mom. I was, when you said it was 45 states, I was wondering why. Secondly, I was, you know, how we have some of these states that are kind of a little bit more conservative, and they're controlled a little bit more by their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if the reason that it's only 45 states is because some states choose to teach different things. Obvious example that comes to mind for me in that is that, you know, you have some of these Bible Belt states that might not want to teach evolution. Maybe they
want to
teach creationism.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is that the reason why there's only 45 states that follow the call?
I can't tell you what the reason would be, but I know one state that isn't doing it. I remember seeing that one when the map came up. One of the largest states, Texas, is not teaching it. But I can tell you the District of Columbia is teaching it, and the Virgin Islands.
Yeah.
Right.
And they said American Samoa and one of the other islands.
Oh,
they're
India.
All teaching it.
So the remarkable thing to me seems to be that you have some of these states like Texas, and we know how Texas rolls with Governor Rick Perry. They have a certain perspective about life.
They buy more textbooks that do not tell certain things about history.
Exactly, and they're not going to teach the contributions of people of color.
That's right.
And Christopher Columbus discovered America, which that was kind of a Common Core curriculum, I guess, because we all learned that, which we know was wrong, how he discovered a place that somebody's already there, but hey. I just happened to see something on the Internet the other day that the Koch brothers are sponsoring a kind of a science fair type of thing to go around to, I think, colleges and things like that, or even grammar school kids to promote fracking. You know, fracking.
That's because of money.
Right.
And if you had listened, or if you had seen the program Sunday on, it says the State of the Union, and they showed North Carolina. It showed where this man by the name of Pope, P-O-P-E, he's doing the same thing as the Koch brothers. He is buying, they are buying, when I say buying, they are paying for Republicans to win all of the seats, and they have gerrymandered North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know that North Carolina, along with the Koch brothers and what they're doing in education, they're taking away everything for the people in North Carolina.
Right.
Maybe
you know?
Might
so,
learn.
I mean, if you have money, if you have money, they can do anything that they want. And if people think that the Koch brothers are giving money to enhance education, they only have to look backwards and see that it's the money and the fracking will let all of this oil and natural gas just come. That's what it is.
And what they're doing is that they're teaching it to young school children, and I got an email from Credo or Move On, progressive think tanks, and they email people. But this was, they were doing this on Radio Disney. They're in partnership with Radio Disney to have these children's programs, which teach, and they're teaching it under the guise of science,
we know what they're doing.
Propaganda, you know
what they're doing,
and another
it's really sad.
Yeah,
terrible. How does the Common Core curriculum hold up against vis-a-vis or with this the charter school system?
Yeah, good question.
Well, in New Jersey, mm-hmm. the charter school systems are going to have to follow the Common Core because that's all of this. The Common Core was written by all of the governors, you know.
Yeah.
It was written by the governors and also by the commissioners of state education. They're the ones who pushed it.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who got together to do it. So the charter schools are going to have to follow. But the problem with the charter schools is that if we have any public schools left, you see, the charter schools always say that they don't pick children to come. Well, you might go there, but if you don't achieve,
then
by
the
time they're ready to give the test during the year,
mm-hmm.
those children who are not succeeding in the charter schools are pushed out and sent back to the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. No. So this is what happens.
Wow.
This is what happens. Mm-hmm. So they say they don't pick their students, but no, they don't pick them, but they let those out who are not achieving.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
they do, you
wow.
see? And as I said before, this these Common Cores, years ago there was a man who wrote a book. Have you ever heard of these books? What Every Child Should Know, Every Kindergartner, Every
yes.
First Grader.
Yeah.
Have you heard of those?
Yes.
Well,
mm-hmm.
those were cultural core books, and I think the Common Core probably copied from him because he had in all of his books, and these go back a long time,
mm-hmm.
what every kindergartner should know, every first grader. And if you did that,
yeah.
if you were a parent and you taught your child from those books, they would know everything they had to know in math, in
mm-hmm.
science, in music,
mm-hmm.
in reading, in history, in geography. He did a fantastic job
mm-hmm.
of doing it. And I'm sure that they took a little from his books, you know.
Right.
And
they were wonderful.
We have about
yes.
4 minutes. We have about 3 minutes right now before the break. But I wonder if you
yes.
could touch on very quickly the Future Scholars Program.
Oh, yeah. The Future Scholars Program is a fantastic program that Rutgers University started.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And what they did, they have programs in every Saturday for students to go down to Newark. It's from Camden, Newark, New Brunswick.
Yeah.
And those students go to the college and learn math, science, reading. Then in the summer, beginning in the seventh grade, you sign up, you
mm-hmm.
write a scholar, you write a essay, and you go to their summer programs from the seventh grade to the 12th grade. And if you do that, you continue to do that and do it well, you're guaranteed 4 years of free tuition at Rutgers
wow.
University.
Mm. They're wonderful. Yeah.
And any parents who are listening need to go to their schools, and if they're in Newark or Camden or New Brunswick,
find
that application and get their children there in the summer. You have to be committed, though. You
yeah.
must be committed.
I'll
mm-hmm.
tell you another
you know?
Thing. And, you know, a lot of people think that the kids in Newark are not scholars. There are so
oh,
many
Oh, but they are.
They
yes,
are
they
fantastic
are.
With fantastic teachers. Newark has been getting a real bad rap, especially because of the killings. Those killings are done by individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
those,
right.
And, of course, that has to be dealt with. But these kids in Newark are absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Having toys.
Well,
Newark,
if we have enough time when you come back, I'd like to tell you about the students who I taught in Newark. And those students were given to me from third grade. I received them in fourth because the principal, Mr. Outlaw, said
uh-huh.
to me, we have students in third grade who are hard workers.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I would like to take that nucleus and give it to you
uh-huh.
and teach them. Well, I
wow.
taught them from fourth grade to the sixth grade, and do you know they all passed NJASK?
Uh-huh.
And And the and some the some had advanced, some were proficient, and there were just a couple who were partially proficient. But those students were, they did catch up, but they had learned, they had advanced on the scale. So I was happy about that. Mm-hmm. And then I had them, the first thing we did was they were taught to speak correct English. And I put a big picture of Obama in the room. And I said, we are now speaking President Obama's English.
Wonderful.
And, and they succeeded. Great. And they were wonderful.
Okay.
And then I did a video of them. And people couldn't believe that these were fifth grade students. And the way they read, they did their own essays, and the way they spoke, they were marvelous. And they're now in seventh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you are a wonderful teacher. You always have been, and you're going to be coming back more and more and more and more. We have to go for a break right now. And it is almost about 8:31, and we have to go for a break. But listen, we are going to be talking to you again and again because we're going to be doing all these different shows. We're going to be including the educational issues and educational things that people can absolutely use because we've got to get our students absolutely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with
that's
the
right.
background in education. But we do have to take this break right now. Thank you, Ann Alexander.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I enjoyed it.
Eric?
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Alexander.
Okay, we'll
be right back. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Stay with us. We'll be right back, everyone.
Interrupt this broadcast to bring you a great opportunity. If you have a product or service, a talent or something important to say, now's your chance to have your own radio show. Whether you're just starting out or a veteran looking for a professional platform to enhance your presentation, the GoPro Radio Network is the premier place to cultivate and share new and exciting content. We'll help you to grow your audience and keep it growing long after your first broadcast. Now you have a voice. Call 212-696-8562 today or visit www.goproradio.com and you'll be amazed at how easy and affordable it is to have your own radio show on the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio. Listen to the voices in your head.
You want to know the truth, folks? Do you really want to know the truth? Well, perhaps you can't handle the truth. But if you can, you can listen to GoPro Radio. Tune in at www.goproradio.com. Now, have I made myself clear?
GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. I know I do.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And we're back on the K Thompson Live Show. I'm the co-host, the son, Eric Payne. I hope Mrs. Alexander, we still have you on the line. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Because we wanted to continue the conversation a little bit before our next guest calls in. And it was such a fascinating conversation to me. I wanted to ask you, now, you know, they talk about America kind of lagging behind in the education of our children. I was wondering, what if within this Common Core curriculum that we taught the kids at an accelerated pace? Because now, of course, we know that other countries are teaching. You have, you know, young kids in first or second grade that are learning at advanced levels.
Yeah,
countries like China and places like that where the kids are really advanced. What if? What are your thoughts about the Common Core curriculum, but being taught at a more advanced level? Is that something that you see that's possible or doable for us to raise the educational level of the average student in the United States?
Well, they are doing that. Mm-hmm. With the Common Core, because they have a new program, you know, in 2014, that's this year.
Uh-huh.
This is going to be the last year for New Jersey ASC.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to bring up a new program, assessment program, called the PARC assessment, and it's PARCC, and it's called the Partnership for Assessment for Readiness for College and Careers.
Yes.
And they are going to follow the Common Core standards.
Mm-hmm.
And those standards will really push the children to achieve at a higher rate.
Okay. Right.
And
so
it doesn't mean the Common Core standards, it does not mean that you can't have gifted and talented children. Mm-hmm. It just means that some of those children who are gifted and talented, they will learn what they need to learn in a particular grade level, and the teacher will just accelerate them. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it means. It doesn't mean it's going to be different, but they will learn standards and meet, because Common Core has many standards in a particular grade. You see?
I see.
And the teachers were getting upset because they said, how will we do all this? Well, they are telling the teachers, you do it at the pace that the children will learn.
Exactly.
There's some children will learn faster, some slower, but it's still they're learning what they should be learning. So it's not going to change acceleration at all.
Okay.
It's not going to do that.
You're saying that the name of that, again, is the Partnership for Readiness for College Careers? Is that the name of it?
Yes. It's a partnership for assessment.
For assessment.
For readiness for college and careers. And what they're saying, the way students are coming out now, they're not ready for college and they're not ready for careers because they don't have the achievement that they should have in courses of math, science. And there was one group, I'm trying to think of the name, it's called the National... The National Assessment of Educational Progress, and they take the scores of all the states, and they said that only 35% of eighth graders performed at grade level or above in math. Now, that's a pretty low percentage.
That's terrible.
It's terrible, but you see, that's why... They are pushing for the Common Core.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see? At least everybody has learned something on that particular grade level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
And that's why people, as I say, the benefits of the Common Core standards will mean that these children, they'll learn to do inferential thinking, critical thinking, analyzing, they'll learn to do all those things.
Right.
And if we didn't have Common Core, what they're asking the teachers to do, raise expectations. That's what Mrs. Goodwin did.
Yeah.
And if you don't raise the expectations of these children, if you say, well, they can't do it, they're not going to do it.
Yeah. Right.
You see?
It also challenges
and that's why they're pushing for Common Core. And this other program that I told you about, which was the partnership assessment, that is aligning itself with the Common Core. It's not taking the place of Common Core.
And
it's just aligning itself.
We have another call that maybe wants to get in on this discussion.
All right, go right ahead.
Caller, come on in this discussion. And both callers, I'm going to have to remind you, we're going to have to wrap it up really briefly because we have Congressman Payne on the other line, and we want to move into that area. Caller, do you have a question or a statement about...
Hi, it's Gina calling from Bermuda. How are you? Mrs. Alexander.
How are you? Good to hear from you.
We also have Congressman Donald Payne on the line, too. Congressman, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
So how you doing?
Hey, Congressman.
Good evening.
So we're just maybe you caught the tail end of the discussion, Congressman, and we got Gina Payne Scott on the line. We're talking about Mrs. Ann Alexander. We're talking about the Common Core curriculum, and Mrs. Alexander was just talking about the needs for the Common Core curriculum and how that's an essential part of education to have standards. And just wondering what as the former city president of the city council in Newark. Now you're in Congress. Your thoughts about educational standards and how important they are for our not only our state but our country.
Well, absolutely. I think that you know, this country and my experience in Newark have had me very concerned about the direction that education is moving in now and into the future with the onslaught of alternative schools such as charter schools being public schools, but not being inclusive of all youngsters having that opportunity has made me a bit leery about the direction that public education is going in. And also to the point of core curriculum, I mean, you know, it is really the basis of, you know, our educational system, that solid foundation under a youngster in order for them to move forward in a positive manner in their educational situation. Mm-hmm. So, and the Department of Education doesn't seem to be very focused on that area as well. You know, there are a lot of different things going on with Arne Duncan, and, you know, we've met with him several times, but it just doesn't seem like we're able to get their attention in terms of basic educational needs of youngsters, primarily in our inner cities and urban areas.
Well, why do you think that is? I mean, you have the same question that I do.
Yeah.
I'm sure Mrs. Alexander and Gina have
course.
The same question.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
It's just not as
I'm not exactly sure, but I think, you know, even with the Obama administration, there's just a shift away. You know, I saw evidence of this whole new dynamic while I was at the Newark City Council, and you know, it's troubling, and it appears that the same philosophies that were being used in Newark is really a national movement, and you know, it's very troubling, and it's something that we need to watch. We are fighting right now to make sure historically black colleges stay funded, and there are a lot of issues around parent plus loans and you know, even Pell grants are in trouble. And so, I mean, you know, the opportunities that our youngsters have been afforded through these positive means are not a top priority for many people in even this administration. So,
it's interesting that you say that, and also Mrs. Alexander, what we were talking about earlier, when you were talking, we were talking about the Koch brothers and them funding certain types of education programs. There seems to be, and this is all for you as well, my educators, Mrs. Alexander and Congressman. I wanted to get Gina's thoughts about core curriculums there in Bermuda, if she can call back. But it seems to be a concerted effort from several different sides to kind of not have the education, to maybe disallow opportunities to people of color and people that are at the lower end of the economic spectrum in the United States. Is that something that you guys have noticed as well? Is that something that you noticed as well, Congressman, and then Mrs. Alexander, and then Mom?
Well, I don't know if it's a concerted effort to deny, but based on the programs and the philosophy of the people that are in power, that's what's happening. It's impacting our communities to a greater degree than it is other communities. And I would hope, I would plead, I would beg, I would pray that is not the goal of the people that are involved in education. I really would hate to think that was the goal, but that is what the outcome is.
Right.
You sound like...
Well, go on, Gina.
You sound like you have your suspicions, Congressman. This is Kay Thompson. You sound like you really have suspicions about that. We're waiting for Gina Payne Scott to call back also. She's calling in from Bermuda, and So,
okay, well, this is... Oh,
but Congressman, are you really that suspicious of this educational group in Trenton right now? And those in Washington who are conservative? What
well,
we
I mean, I see what the state appointed superintendent is doing in Newark, and by the time she gets done, the Newark Board of Education will be doing nothing but renting out buildings, for revenue. I don't know what kind of teaching they're going to be doing because it appears that there's a wholesale selling of the schools in Newark. And I know that, granted, there's been a shrinking population, but the consolidation that's going on is incredible. And, granted, I think that has to happen, maybe, maybe not, okay. But I'm still waiting to see where she has, enhanced education for these children. All I see is, her being a grand landlord and, selling these buildings off or renting them out or leasing them or whatever. Yeah. And the core curriculum, education in Newark, has not been enhanced to any degree under this superintendent. So, I'm leery of that group and the overall philosophy of the federal government at this time in terms of education. So, yes, I'm a little leery, a little concerned, and we have a lot of members of the Congressional Black Caucus that are the experts in that area that we've met with Arnie Duncan on 3 or 4 occasions and think we get to one point, and then we hear again that, Parent PLUS loans are in trouble, Pell Grants are being scaled back. And, so what do we do for now? What do we do for a year in bringing these issues to the forefront?
Okay, well, we've got to go for a quick break.
Now,
hold it right there. We've got to go for a quick break, and we'll be right back on the other side. We're going to be talking to Gina as well. And we're going to move into the unemployment extension benefits that I want to get into that. All right, we'll be right back on the Kate Thompson Live Show. Join us on the other side.
GoPro Radio, the fastest growing network in the galaxy, is leaner and meaner with a new attitude, new technology, and a brand new lineup. Tune in and get wired every Wednesday, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern with the BCS Experience featuring Byron C. Saunders, formerly of New York City's WBAI. Then at 6 p.m., it's the Black Agenda TV Express featuring sought-out political commentator Glenn Ford, formerly of America's Black Forum. Then at 8 p.m., it's time for Kay Thompson Live with the legendary radio host Kay Thompson of Inner City Broadcasting's WLIB and her son, renowned actor Eric Payne, who starred in such films as Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, Drop Squad, and many more. Then, at 9 p.m., it's Food Wrap, featuring Nina Markel, a.k.a. the unofficial mayor of Jersey City, and former Viacom marketing guru Shauna Glover. Last but not least, at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's The Sexy Party Show, with the bad boy of dating Mr. Locario of I Love New York fame and his partner in crime, Miles Cunningham. So get wired every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern only on the GoPro Radio Network, www.goproradio.com. Listen to the voices in your head.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And welcome back to the Kay Thompson Live Show. I'm the sun, Eric Payne.
Yes.
The sun, sunrise. And sun. I like that a little bit. Anyway, we have Mrs. Ann Alexander, Congressman Donald Payne, my sister Gina Payne Scott from Bermuda. Now, Gina, let's get you in on the discussion. We're talking about Common Core curriculum. Really quickly, do they have that in Bermuda? Because you have two young sons that are in the school system out there. Is there a Common Core, and you have a very good school system from what I understand out there. Is that correct?
Gina? We're waiting for Gina Payne.
Yeah.
Scott?
Hello. Gina Payne. Scott.
Okay. So, in Bermuda, there is a recently added Common Core curriculum, because something about the discussion of education and putting parents and educators in the same room automatically invokes an adversarial relationship, and I don't always know why. I don't necessarily think that policymakers here or in at home there in the U.S. or have an intention of doing anything bad to our kids, but for some reason, parents, there's so many different opinions and ways, you know, everyone's thinking about how it's going to affect their child, as they should, so it's automatically an adversarial relationship. Same thing here. So even the best laid plans, you know, there's going to be some dissension from that. Why there's some dissension, from what I understand, even there, is because they, not so much that people oppose a common, you know, raising the standard, but the Common Core in the U.S., anyway, and Congressman, I guess you could certainly speak to this, but I think a lot of people are thinking it's the gathering of information that the federal government needs. It's a whole underlying conspiracy theorist sort of thing, why those particular states don't want it. It's not necessarily racist. It's more of the people who are anti-government trying to control everything, why they don't want the Common Core curriculum. Yeah. Because there are individual states who, within their state, they don't mind all the different schools having a Common Core. In Bermuda, it was an issue because you could have, you know, three different middle schools, and by the time the kids have to choose which school they're going to go into, one school, there's only two high schools here, one school is notoriously better academically than the other school, the other high school. So of course, you know, the a lot of people want their kids to go to that school. However, if it relies on testing, the kids who came from a whole bunch of different middle schools, they simply did not, you know, have the same qualifications. So having that said, in a smaller environment like Bermuda and maybe in individual towns, yes, some kind of a Common Core needs to, one kid definitely should be able to compete with the other kid,
yeah.
And not for the fault of the fact that, well, I didn't learn that. Yes, everyone should be learning, you know, the basic of the same thing.
Sure.
Now, the individualizing of schools and what they want to focus on, you know, I'm not opposed to that necessarily because, and the other thing I think that some, and then I'll be quiet, I think a lot of the things that a lot of the teachers and parents are opposed to is that there are just so many changes constantly being made. So the teachers get comfortable with something, the parents get comfortable with something, all of a sudden there's new tests, there's new standards, and then you have to worry about, well, is my kid going to fail this test, not for lack of what I'm doing or maybe the school is doing, but suddenly there's different standards, there's different, we just introduced took away the whole school system here and changed it, probably for the better. But my concern is my kid who's in middle school, they could possibly get lost in the shuffle during the transition period. So those sorts of things are frustrating. Not so much that people are opposed to wanting their kids to do better, but it's the constant changing and everyone has their own opinion. It's just like decide on something. And let's go from there. And yes, we all have to be at a elevated standard. Of course, everyone wants their kids, you know, elevated standard.
Yes, we're going to go right back to Congressman Donald Payne in just a minute, but I want to tell people, I promised to tell you when I was going to be doing, putting on the interview with Professor Dennis Brutus, the cell, he was in the cell and right next to Nelson Mandela. That is going to be finally next week, everyone.
And we just have 2 minutes to break,
yeah,
I mean, 2 minutes to the end of the show, actually.
Yeah.
And do you find that to be the situation,
Congressman?
Congressman, and then Mrs. Alexander, really quickly.
Congressman?
In terms of...
The changing kind of standards there that Gina alluded to in Bermuda.
Yeah.
In terms of parents being, you know, somewhat frustrated and educators being frustrated with the constant changes, nobody really, you know, minds the elevating of the standards or making it even common, but just the fact that the education system can't seem to get it together and it's a constant change.
That's there in Bermuda. Now, we're talking about here in the U.S., is that a similar problem?
I'm talking about there as well, having worked there, yeah.
I'd like to hear from Ms. Alexander.
Oh, well, Gina's right. They're constantly changing, and sometimes not for the better. But what I have found, and what a number of teachers have found who want their students to be successful, you find what is most important and what do the students need to move them to the next level. Mm-hmm. And then you teach that. They can change everything they want, but you find out that they're only buying new systems. Somebody's getting paid someplace for constantly bringing in new books and new programs.
Absolutely.
So, you see, somebody's getting paid someplace for doing that.
Absolutely.
And but
and that's it.
What I've always done, I
that's,
know
that's it, Mrs. Alexander.
What they need.
We are out of time.
Oh, all right. The next time, it would be wonderful to continue. Thank you.
We wanted to get into, thank you, Gina. Thank you, Congressman Peng. We wanted to get into the unemployment extension, but we got into this conversation, which was so fascinating, about a Common Core curriculum. And, Congressman, you gave us a perspective that a lot of people didn't know about, the battle that you guys are fighting down there. So we thank you for that. We're going to talk about extension, unemployment extensions next week. We know they only voted to take it to the floor for a debate. I want to thank you guys for coming on the Kay Thompson Live Show.
Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, Congressman. Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Ann Alexander. Thank you, Eric. Thanks.
Thank you, too, Ma. Join us next week.
And thank you.
You're
thank
welcome
you.
On the Kay Thompson Live Show.
All right.
Carefully. Good night.